Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. We have several items on the agenda this morning. First, I'm announcing that for the bills related to the transient lodging tax, that's House Bills 3135, 3136, 3137, 3138, those were carried over from a previous meeting. We are carrying them over again. So please mark that. Carry over 3135, 3136, 3137, 3138. We will hope to finish the information meeting quickly enough that we can get to two very quick work sessions. I'm opening an information meeting on the highway cost allocation study.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is a study that is done every other year. We have the state hires a consultant, and it's kind of a joint management between LRO and the Office of Economic Analysis. So this is one of the regulars, if you will.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Mark McMullen, the Oregon State Economist, and Chair of the Highway Cost Allocation Study Review Team. So the Highway Cost Allocation Study is something that we've done here for a long time in Oregon. Here you see 70 years. It's our 21st study. The first one was done by famous engineer Condi McCullough, who designed most of the bridges on the coast. But at any rate, the concept that's really built into our Constitution here in Oregon is an idea of equitable cost responsibility. The idea that across different classes of vehicles, light vehicles and heavy vehicles, the amount that different classes of vehicles pay in terms of fees and weight mile taxes and fuel taxes and the like should be proportional to the costs that are required for the highway spending. And so that's what this study really does, and it's been enshrined in the Constitution since 1999 that every 2 years we have to at least review this, whether or not the system of funding is equitable here in Oregon, and if not, then adjustment of rates by the legislature is required. So this round, as the last couple rounds, has been contracted out to a consultant, Echo Northwest, to prepare the study. But they don't go about it alone. In order to make this work, it's a very technical study, and there's a lot of details and a lot of assumptions involved that definitely matter to stakeholders. We try to put together a very open process, and this process has worked well for us in terms of building a study review team where we draw together most of the stakeholders who are affected, the cars, the trucks, the counties, the bikes, and the like, and combine that with some academic experts and the folks from the agency and LRO and the like, and go through this every year where we not only do the main study, but also start looking at some different implications that the stakeholders care about in terms of other highway funding policies. This time in particular, we did a carbon pricing study to look at if we did have a cap and invest program put in place, similar to the stuff that the legislature is now looking at, what would those implications be for highway cost funding as well? And so this group has been really instrumental in not only providing the expertise to do the study, but also ensuring that there's buy-in and that this is a transparent process, and that our stakeholders, although they're not always happy with results, can feel that they've had a fair opportunity for input and try to get some understanding of it. Now, We've had the same group for quite some time, but we've had kind of a generational turnover here the last couple of rounds, where our main stakeholders, our representatives from the counties, from the AAA, from the Trucking Association, and even our vendor, the Echo Northwest Consulting Firm, have all turned over due to retirements in the last couple 3 years. So now we have a fresh look at it, but we still have some great institutional knowledge, particularly with Professor Don Negri from Willamette University, who has been through 7 biennials of these studies and has done some great work for us. So with that, I'd like to call up some of the folks from the study review team to talk a little bit about their experience with the process, and then we'll return and Mazin and I will give you the results quickly of the study.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm here today on behalf of AAA Oregon Idaho, one of the stakeholders and one of 2 road users. We, in essence, are the folks that really care about the integrity of this process and to make sure that even though it's not perfect, that it uses honest weights and measures and the most accurate data possible in order to determine the relative cost responsibility between automobiles and our partners in OTA, the truckers. What's nice about this is we may fight a little bit in this process, but the reality is we share a common interest in the integrity of this work, and we have a high confidence level in the players, from our state economists, who you just heard from, to legislative revenue and Mazin Malik, the Department of Administrative Services, ODOT, Echo Northwest, players that have a significant amount of expertise, and Mr. Buchan and I, representing the road users, are very involved. And I will tell you, it's been a challenging process for me, because for the past 20 years, as you know, it would be my brother Craig sitting here. We do look a little different. I had a dream the other night that I went to bed with gum in my mouth and woke up with gum in my hair. And then I woke up and I realized I didn't have any hair. And so this is a complex process that's taken me some time to really get up to speed on. And I will say I appreciate the patience of the team that is doing this work, because they've really helped me come to a place where I understand this better. My whole approach to this is to be able to understand it so I can explain it. And what was most interesting to me about this process is it's forward-looking. It is looking at the next biennium, and it's trying to identify 2 things. It's trying to identify what are the users going to pay, what is the revenue that's going to be coming into this process, and on the expenditure side, where are we going to be spending this money? The best analogy to use is if we looked at the amount of damage to the roads caused by studded tires, and we looked at the whole state and we said we want to fix all of that, it could be, I'll pull a number out of my hat, $60 million, $40 million. That doesn't really matter, not the damage. It's what are we going to expend on that particular problem in the next biennium. Everything that we do on roads, bridges, maintenance, everything has an allocator. We allocate responsibility between cars and trucks, and I just use an example. Studded tire damage is uniquely 100% a car cost responsibility. When we spend that money, it's because we've done the damage. There's others that are really unique to trucks, right? Like truck waste stations would be an example of something that would be exclusively a truck responsibility. And then there's shared responsibility too for things like the maintenance of rest areas or the maintenance of signs and signals, things that both of our groups take advantage of. And then there's more complexity associated with this. I'm really simplifying it. But you know, there are other gross vehicle weight is taken into consideration, because that may have an impact on certain things. We take it, we look at vehicle size, because you may have to adjust the way you do an overpass based on the size of a vehicle. And then you may have to look at the damage to the pavement based on axle weights. All of that complexity is allocated into a soup that is that ends up with a cost responsibility analysis between our autos and our trucks. And I will just say, I'm not going to say it's a fascinating experience. I'm just not. But I will say it's a meaningful experience, and it's one that on behalf of AAA, we have a lot of confidence in. So Chair Nathanson and members of the committee, thank you for giving us a chance to just come here today and talk a little bit about this process that we just endured.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Waylon Buchan. I'm here representing the Oregon Trucking Associations. Kevin, that was a great job. I think that was a really good, succinct, comprehensive analysis of sort of what we do as the stakeholder. So I'll keep my remarks pretty brief. I will say that it's a good study. It's a monster. It's a real beast of a study. And it's just cascading assumptions upon assumptions and lots of data and lots of fine minutiae that I won't pretend to understand. I liken it almost to a courtroom where you have two sides sort of zealously representing their interests. And perhaps the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I think that that's why this is a bit of a healthy process. We have ECA Northwest, we have the Office of Economic Analysis through DAS, and they're sort of the referees, or maybe the judges or jury, if I'm going to keep the same analogy. And we fight for our sides, we fight for our pocketbooks of our members. And at the end of the day, most times, every time you raise $2 out of cars, you raise another dollar out of trucks. That's sort of the quick and dirty of it. But we really, we probe, we ask questions, we get into the data, we get well beyond where we ever care to get into the data. Kevin and I have to take a deep dive and really try to understand this stuff. And we have to try to understand it because we have to ask the questions. Is that the right allocator? Does that really apply to trucks? Is that something that's more to do with transit? How many pallets can you carry on a TriMet bus? Does that actually make sense that we might be charged for that? So we go back and forth and we have sort of a healthy debate. At the end of the day, ECA Northwest DAS basically crunches all the numbers. They put it through a very complex, robust model. They spit out the numbers. And then usually there's a round two and a round three where we keep arguing and we keep debating. It's a healthy debate. And again, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I think it's a good quality control check. And it's one of the better ways you can have quality controls is because you have two vested stakeholders sort of on both sides, on the bookends, trying to get to the right answer. So I will say that it's unique. Like they said, we've been doing this for over 70 years. Oregon's really unique in that we have a constitutional provision and a duty to follow up with the study. Other states do highway cost allocation, but it's more a study that they sort of put up on a shelf and it kind of collects dust, where we do a really robust study with the goal in mind that we're going to produce results that we bring back to this legislative body. And if it's necessary, you do something with that. In fact, the Constitution sort of mandates that we do that. So it's very important. We have high confidence in the results and high confidence in the process. And we really appreciate all the work that goes into it. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks. And if you have any questions, please fire away. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Don Negri, and I'm a professor of economics at Willamette University. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the study review team deliberations. I will be brief. As Mark said, I have served on the Oregon Highway Cost Allocation Study Review Team for seven iterations now. The study review team reviews the contractor's analysis, is made up of a diverse set of stakeholders, including the state economist, interested citizens, independent experts, ODOT administrators and staff, academics like myself, and advocates for constituencies that have a significant stake in the outcome, like the gentleman on my right. The SRT scrutinizes every step of the process, including the model, the assumptions, the data, and the results. The SRT can and do request revisions and clarifications. The contractor is responsive to our requests and recommendations and requests for information. The outcome of this process is a broad-based scrutiny that has integrity and produces an analysis and recommendations that I would characterize as fair and objective. Frankly, I'm impressed with these two gentlemen who advocate strongly on behalf of their constituents and are wedded to the truth and the integrity of the process. So thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you all. We're ready to get the details.
Okay. So again, just really quickly, the idea is just to try to make sure that it's proportional or equitable, the amount that the different classes of vehicles put into the system versus the amount they get out in terms of the planned spending mix for each biennia. And then should that be outside of, you know, if not appear equitable, then it's upon the legislature to either adjust rates or adjust the mix of spending to bring us back into that equitable range. And this time is the first time for years and years. Usually we haven't had this move very much in terms of the equity ratios and get really outside of what we would consider fair. This time we had some big movements, and a lot of that had to do with the Highway Bill 2017 that was passed in the last session. And so we'll talk a little bit about how that gives us a little insight about how equity rates are going to move going forward. And like I say, in addition to that, all this material is available online, the whole big study, as well as our two white papers we did this time, looking at the impact of trying to do a better job of accounting for traffic on local roads, particularly for heavy vehicles, and also taking a look at the cap and invest policies that are getting bounced around the legislature now and how that may impact highway costs going forward. So with that, I'll pass it on to Mazin, who will talk a little bit about the exact results that we got.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, member of the committee. For the record, Mazin Malik with Legislative Revenue Office. Just before I go into the results, I just want to bring it to your attention that we have the study on your OLIS. This is the complete study results. However, there are also, if you're interested in a lot more details, as you know, we have all kinds of details, and they're in appendices that are not included in OLIS, but we can provide them to you if you want, and that requires or carries all the details and all the data that we've used in this study to work with it. The study actually is done by the consultants, and then they deliver us the model. The model lives in our computer to use all those different assumptions in order to be able to give you always an idea of what is fair and equitable. And what is fair and equitable that the study is trying to actually get in front of everyone in a very transparent and open way that does not necessarily have anything to hide, and everything is on the table, and we can bring it to the eyes of all the inquiry. So the main idea is that you have costs and you have revenues. The costs that are imposed on the system by the different users, and then you have revenues that are paid into the system. And if the costs and the revenues as a share or a ratio, if they're put on top of each other and you have one, that means you're at perfect equity. If it's more than one for any one of the user classes, you're overpaying, and less than one, you're underpaying as a class. So that's the main idea that we have. And as we do this, we use two or three main components of doing this. We first use the vehicle miles of travel, because that's the vehicle miles of travel is what puts stress on the roads. So vehicle miles of travel are forecasted by ODOT, and they are part or coordinated, collaborated with the revenue forecasting process. So to give you an idea of how in 2020, the year of 2020 is the base year, or we call it the performa year. So each study, so the studies for the 2019-21 biennium, the middle year of that is 2020, and that would be our base year. And the base year VMT forecast, as you see here, is about 37.3 billion miles per year of in Oregon as a total. So we take those VMT, And then we get to the second input into the study, which is what the expenditures as forecasted by the agency budget request. And as you know, with highway expenditures, expenditures are planned for 4 years forward. This is what's so-called the STIP when it comes to the project state transportation improvement programs, and then all the other expenditures that are part of the agency budget, administration, research, data, all the stuff that consumes the expenditures of the agency. That also includes the federal funds that the agency receives. So if you put the average annual expenditure for transportation for highway, it's about 2.1 billion. And that's about 6.2% compared to the 2017 study. And you see the other categories of expenditures that we have and how much that takes up from the budget and the annual expenditure for the Department of Transportation. So we have the VMT, we have the expenditures, and now we take the revenue. That's the third input into the model, or the big input. And the revenue forecast assumes current law and current law estimates and rates. So it will not assume anything different or to be changed. This is as the law is today. And of course, the law is today includes House Bill 2017. And the revenue for the biennium are expected to be 1.5 billion annually, with the weight mile tax and registration fees are becoming more important now, and making more of a share into the revenue than it was. And registration fees is because House Bill 2017 increased a whole bunch of that. And then on the heavy side, weight mile taxes were the ones that increased on the heavy side. So in general, your fuel tax is still your lion's share of revenue that is coming. It's about 660 million, followed by about 368 from weight mile tax. So now we have the VMT, we have the expenditures, and now we have the revenues in front of us. In the way we do highway expenditures and highway finance in Oregon, there are a certain the classes of vehicles that have either exemptions or they have an alternative fee schedule. And the exempted vehicles are things or vehicles such as government vehicles. Government vehicles are primarily an exempt class. They get very low amounts of contributions, and they're subsidized by the rest of the classes. Same thing that you would have with transit vehicles. They're subsidized accordingly for all the vehicle classes. Now, although we estimate for all classes, at the end, what ends up paying the costs is the full fee-paying vehicles. These are the ones that actually pay for all of that, and they pay for themselves, and in a way, they pay for the subsidized classes in the same way. So the fees are based on these full fee-paying vehicles. For the full fee-paying expenditures, you would see the expenditures in the blue and the revenues coming in the red. And you would see that totals of where the revenues are coming are slightly less than what the expenditures are. And that because of different factors that come in. We have a lot higher expenditures that are subsidized or are paid for by different sources of revenue. Those sources of revenue include the federal revenues and include local revenues that are considered to be fungible. And that's where our friends in the local governments come in, and we have them on the SRT, and they're very helpful in identifying and their program, both their program costs and their revenues. This is a general idea. I'm going to go over this box by box, so you would completely have the idea of how we do these things, but that would be done in a different presentation. For now, this is the way primarily our model works in those essence. So for the summary of our results, we always put these results in a summarized fashion, about 6 or 7 weight classes. Although, when we do the cost allocation and highway and revenue, we do all of these by 2,000-pound classes. However, the 2,000-pound classes might or might not be as precisely important in this general idea. So the first class is the 1 to 10,000 pounds. Those are your basic vehicles, includes your light vehicles and light trucks. Those, as you see, have the highest number of VMTs in the system. They are about 33.5 billion VMT out of a total of 36 billion, with the highest cost responsibility, and how much they pay in the user fee. And in the last column, you see the equity ratio. And the equity ratio for those weight class is what considered to be the light vehicles or the car share. And it's at 0.985. And remember, this is less than 1, which indicates that that class of vehicle is underpaying its share at this time. So 10,000 to 26 is the light, heavy, we call it, or the very specialized weight class. This includes your delivery trucks, light trucks that are not necessarily what you see and describe and you think of the heavy vehicles when you do that. 26 to 78,000 is everything in between. These are the working trucks and the construction trucks that you see different parts of projects. Then the major weight class in the heavy vehicles are the 78 to 80,000. This is the class of heavy that you think of and what actually puts the highest number of VMTs. And as you see, it's 1.2 billion VMTs. With everybody else in the heavy class, a lot less on the VMT number. And that class, as you see, it's about 1.329 on their equity ratio, which means that class by itself is overpaying its responsibility. So in conclusion of how this exercise, this biennium, have shown us is that the light vehicles are projected to underpay by about 1.54% of what they would have paid otherwise under full equity ratio. And the heavy vehicles are projected to overpay by about 3.14%. So, and, you know, the light vehicles, 98.1%. The cost responsibility for the light vehicles is 67%, while they're paying 66.1. And the same thing you have for the heavy vehicles at 33.9% of payment, while their cost is only 32.8%. So that is what Mark was talking about for a time that we're seeing today is different than what we usually find out in the cost responsibility amount. And why this is different is because of House Bill 2017. When we did House Bill 2017 transportation package, there was a multi-year increases in rates. Those multi-year increases in rates spanned 2018, 2020, 2022, and 2024. So there are yet increases to come. However, with those increases, the heavy vehicles, and because of the way we've built that package, the industry preferred to increase their instrument or their weight mile tax for that early in the process, and to increase it the highest at that time. So that increase about 25% in the weight mile tax or the heavy trucks immediately in 2018, and then it carries 5%, 6%, 5% for the total of 54% at the end. But the biggest chunk of what they've required at the beginning of House Bill 2017 was at the beginning. So this is expected to show a higher payment by the heavy vehicles than the light vehicles. So that is what we have for you on this issue. And if you have any questions of us and would like to know more of how House Bill 2017 actually works in a way that the study review team or the study is not asking or recommending the legislature act on changing those rates because of the dynamics of House Bill 2017 and how it's going to work, because the best is yet to come, I guess, in that sense.
Yes, Representative Reschke.
Just a real quick question. We don't have to answer it here, but I'd like to see this slide, but going back to 2015, 2013, 2011. So I have some sort of historical perspective on how we've hit it in the past and whether we're close or not, or maybe somebody can comment on whether we're doing a better job or not.
Yeah, Chair Nathanson, Representative Reschke, these are further away from one than we've typically been. For most studies, we're a 0.5% off or so for the last several rounds, at least those that I've been involved in. So typically, as a study review team, we had this informal threshold that when we got to a 5% gap, we'd say, this is no longer equitable, we're going to have to ask the legislature to act. And as you see here, we're just at the 5% threshold here. But as Mazin explained, and he works with the model, gets his hands dirty in it, as we start seeing some of these fees on cars and the gasoline taxes going up in the biennium, this current biennium and biennium to come, we expect this to go back to equity. Okay. Without any direct action by the legislature. Our fingers are crossed. There are a lot of moving parts, but it does appear to be moving, all else equal, given the way the fees from HB 2017 are built in. We should move back towards equity going forward.
Thank you. That answered my question, so I don't need the slides. That's good enough.
Representative Reschke, just to, if you, we do have this data in Chapter 5, Exhibit 5-8 in the study. You have 2015, 2017 results and how they compare. We could go more if you want. However, as we said, there has been very few times when we didn't actually come in close. A couple times in the past since I've been involved with this, and I've been involved with this for a while, since the first study 7 years ago. Since then, in 1999 and above, we've changed rates twice.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Marsh. Thank you. I just wondered if you could comment on how much leeway the process gives us to look at longer-term trends.
Yeah, Representative Marsh, Chair Nathanson. Unfortunately, not much. And this is highlighted by this HB 2017 issue, because the study is very much, in terms of the constitutional and statutory language, is very much look at this next biennium, because that's the only biennium for which we have legislative decision on what we're going to spend, right? So we, and traditionally we haven't looked out past just a couple of years, unless we're, doing a special white paper or things along those lines. So unfortunately, not a lot in terms of the forward-looking. But that said, that does also become difficult in terms of the forecasting process, both on the revenue and the cost side.
Representative, we use the study as the base, and then once we have things such as House Bill 2017 that has multi-years, we use other forecasting procedures to actually hit that. So that's where we come in order to be able to look at those differences. However, there are some times when we look at special studies. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for your time.
I'm closing the informational meeting. We're going to move quickly to two work sessions, and if we can get them done quickly, then members can be excused to go to other meetings that they have right now. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2867.
You want me to do it?
Let's have a sentence from LRO.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2867 changes one number, but it increases the ADMW cap of a school district that has qualifying small high schools for the purpose of state school fund distributions. Nothing changes for this upcoming biennium because the school district in question is below 8,500 at this point. And there are sideboards that will prevent unintended consequences from happening. We have revenue impact and also fiscal impact.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2867 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Finley moves House Bill 2867 as amended.
No,
to the floor with the do pass rec. Yes. Is there a?
There's no amendment.
Yes, I just.
We didn't say there was.
No. Not hers. Any discussion?
Any objections?
The motion, having received the required majority, is declared passed. The carrier will be Representative. Reshke.
Thank you.
Would you like to carry this?
I would very much so. Thank you.
Okay. Can we do one more quickly? Is that all right with you all? I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2867, opening a work session on House Bill 2132.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2132 with the -1 amendment. This is a measure that would extend the cultural trust income tax credits. This is the 6-year extension, one of the standard credits up for review. And the -1 is just a technical change amendment. There's going to be no policy change from the amendment. And this is set to go to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Good. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill will be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Could I please have a motion for an amendment first?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have. Madam Chair, I move that the -1 amendment be adopted to House Bill 2132.
Thank you. Representative Finley moves the -1 amendment adopted into House Bill 2132. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes.
Now, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Representative Finley has moved House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the J-tax language as stated by Representative Finley. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. I will carry that if it comes to that in the House. That's all of our business for today. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2132. We are adjourned.